The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, the morning after Selection Sunday. This never fails to get me hyped up.
Yeah, let's go.
Never.
Morning after St. Paddy's Day, too. I expected this place to be much more destroyed than it is.
People are in recovery.
I was here from 12 to 4. I was shocked when I got here at noon yesterday how few people were here at Barcana. By the time 4 o'clock hit, we were basically being shoved out of this room. There were so many people in here.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a party at the D yesterday.
Yeah, shoved out of your show spot?
Yeah, basically.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. There it is, live. Look at the D. Raucous. Look at that place.
I expected there to be a couple bodies still hanging around here.
No bodies that I can see. Here's the thing about March Madness, and I don't know if there's a greater American tradition, but it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It's quality proof too. Like even if it's a bad game, it's still kids fighting for their survival in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the greatest thing ever. Can't wait for it all to start, of course, Thursday morning. Yes, there are play-in games, officially called the First Four, that will take place tomorrow night. We're going to go through it bracket by bracket, region by region with Michael Montesano, the Circa Booby Prize winner for 2020, a little later on in the show. He was on doing some college hoops with us a couple weeks ago. Really sharp college basketball better. And then the Megapod is today as well, after the show, for those who want it on the podcast side. That is Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and me doing our thing. Same deal from a betting standpoint, from a bracket standpoint, who the Final Four plays are. Remember, that was the show that last year, I had UConn winning it all last year. That was a mere footnote. Todd had UConn mm-hmm. beating San Diego State in the finals. He had Michigan State getting deep. Will had FAU, Florida Atlantic, getting to the Final Four. That was the most ridiculous show
ever. Yeah, those were incredible calls.
Yeah, I went back and listened to it. Todd's conviction on everything was perfect. So we're doing that after the show today. Ed Feng will join us. A little talk about props that he likes in college hoops as well. We'll even get some hockey from Jay Kahn. I just want to say I was going to start the show today. We'll do the formula. Oh, yes, the formula. The update of the formula is coming up, I promise. I was going to start the show today, Kelly, by talking about Temple's unbelievable run to March Madness. And like, if there were any historical comps to it, Temple was a 500-1 dog to win their conference tournament.
Whew.
And it didn't quite get there. UAB had other ideas yesterday, but it was just,
I was in on Temple. I was in on the story, but then, you know, but then it makes sense, right? If there's anything funny going on.
Yeah.
If you got blew out by UAB before, you got to get blew out by UAB again.
Not only were they 500-1 pre-flop, for those who are like 500-1, come on, no, I have the screenshot of it. They're 500-1 to win. They also had, of course, the scandal that you're referring to, which is scandal in quotes, which is,
right. We have no idea
what kind of shenanigans were going on with Temple in a few games this year.
They have like 5 conference wins? Like it was something ridiculous. They were very bad.
12-17 headed in to the American Conference Tournament. So that went by the wayside. NC State becomes the longest shot to make it via winning their conference tournament. NC State wins the ACC tournament for the first time since 1987. They do so by winning 5 games in 5 days, beating Carolina and Duke along the way. The NC State Wolfpack winning more games in D.C. than the Wizards have won all year there.
That's my favorite stat.
5-4.
I burst out laughing when someone texted me.
Was it called that? Capital One Arena? Is that what they call it?
I have no idea. That sounds right.
So that ends up being the longest shot. I wish it had been Temple because I was like researching.
Capital One,
1997 Fairfield was like this amazing run. Steve Fezzik chimed in the early, you know, New York Community College team that did have a gambling scandal in the early 50s that sort of played possum and then won the tournament would be the equivalent. Anyway, so what becomes the headline from yesterday's Selection Sunday? We'll get into it with Montesano later, but it's essentially that UConn, for being the number one overall, and this is pretty much a consensus opinion, not just here, they kind of got screwed a little bit of a screwing. If you do it by KenPom numbers, just let's take the East region, which UConn is in. They have in their region alone, and I'll do the top 24 KenPom because 25th is St. John's and they didn't make the tournament, so it's a nice sort of cutoff spot. But in their region itself, they got the 21st team at KenPom, San Diego State. They got the 4th ranked team at KenPom, Auburn. 16th ranked team at KenPom, BYU. 10th ranked team at KenPom, Illinois. And the 5th ranked team at KenPom, Iowa State, all in their region. So all of that plugged into UConn's region. That's a lot of teams and a lot of highly ranked. What do you got? What did I just mention? The 4th, 5th, and 10th amongst those teams in there. As opposed to, say, a Purdue, which is the 3rd overall, number 1, out in the Midwest bracket. All they have in their bracket, judged by KenPom, again, through the prism of KenPom, the 15th ranked team at KenPom at Gonzaga, the 22nd ranked team at KenPom in Kansas, 11th in Creighton, and 7th in Tennessee. That's it. One fewer team of the top 24 in KenPom, and not as highly ranked. So I'm just saying that's the most, I think that's the biggest headline of the bracket that came out yesterday. The incongruence of that. UConn still remains a short shot to win it all, though. Yep. Only 3 teams in single digits, single digit odds, that is. UConn, Houston, and Purdue, much of that because of their favorable draw, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, respectively. And then Arizona is next, and that's already double digits at 12-1.
I can't wait. I held back a little bit yesterday, Gil. I did make one game bet, but I can't wait to hear the great guests we're going to have on over the next few days.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think there's a long shot or two worth betting.
Okay.
So I love UConn. This Houston and Purdue team, I got questions.
Let's start because, listen, this is the one time of year where it's not all about betting. Most people in this country, as you very well know, tens of millions of people just play brackets. Couldn't care less about a point spread. Let's just start with basic bracket strategy. Can we do that? Shout out to Tom Federico and Jason Lisk, who did about as good a job of anybody over there at Team Rankings. And Hoop Genius talking about their tenets of bracket strategy, and we'll cull it through their language as well. 4 key tenets, because you know how many combinations of brackets you can make?
Oh, I have no idea. Is it in the millions? Billions?
9.2 quintillion.
Trillions? Quintillions?
Goes trillions, quadrillions, quintillions.
Quadrillions?
I believe that's 18 zeros, if I'm not mistaken, on quintillion. 9.2 of those. Okay. Understand your scoring system. Tenet number 1.
Yeah.
In other words, traditional brackets, right? You've played them before. You hit a first round game, you get 2 points. You hit a second round game, you get 4 points. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. So you're incentivized. Who cares so much about the upsets?
Yeah.
Focus on getting your final 4, your final 2, and your champion.
Just pick
right.
The winner. Yeah.
That's traditional. By the way, it doesn't have to be 2, 4, 6, 8. Sometimes it's 1, 2, 4. Sometimes 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Sometimes it's not exactly doubled up. But either way, the incentive is to get what's at the end right. That is as opposed to players in bracket contests with upset bonuses. Those are the really cool brackets where you are rewarded for upsets. In other words, if you correctly pick, say, a 13 to beat a 4 in the first round or an 11 to beat the 2 in a second, let's say, you're given the added points of that upset. So 13 to 4 is not only the points of hitting that game right, mm-hmm. but you get the extra 9 points, 13 minus 4. So in those pools, upset-minded, upset-rewarded pools, the incentive is to get the upsets right. And by the way, the mistake people make is they don't risk enough of those.
Yeah.
Go crazy with those.
Those are the only ones I ever play in.
They're
Gil,
so great.
NAR. Yeah, I mean, just basic bracket strategy, completely different, and you need to understand that.
So the very first tenet of the 4, again, understand your scoring system. The second one is assessment of risk and value. What do Jason and Tom mean by that? You basically want to find teams that are underpicked. We talk about this in the NFL Survivor as well, right? This is the game theory on this kind of stuff. ESPN is a great resource for large buckets of who's picking what. ESPN probably right. has the best of that. There are other ones. I remember tournamentpools.com used to have this, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day. I don't know if they do anymore. But ESPN is a great...
I still use that site.
A great resource of that. How many people nationally are picking what teams? The object is to be somewhat contrary to that, but don't go nuts on that either, right? It's a risk to value assessment.
I think UConn's the perfect example this year, right? I think there are so many people obsessed with UConn that if you're then a lot of brackets, you have to think, okay, how do I go the other way? Yet if you really believe in them, it's hard to do that.
So understand your scoring system, assess risk and value, and by that, know what people are picking, but don't go like mad with it. Be selective on how you're doing it. Number three, adjust your strategy for pool size. DFS players will be very familiar with this, which is simply, Kelly, if you're playing against 10 people, you should probably just go conservative and beat people by picking the favorites.
Yeah, if my pool had 10 people in it, I'd be fine picking UConn.
If you got 100 in it, you got to be a little more risky with your picks. If you've got 10,000, you should be picking upsets left and right because you ain't winning that picking UConn and Houston in the finals, right? So adjust the strategy for the pool size. And then number four, the way they put it is avoid the golden rules. How I like to put it is avoid the nonsense. By the way, they put golden rules in quotes. Avoid the nonsense that you will hear in mainstream media that we as bettors only really view as an amusement.
Like the 12 over 5?
Best example of them all. 12 over 5. Oh, 12s always beat 5s. There's nothing to that. There's nothing magical because a team ends up in the 12 slot that they end up beating the 5. So don't go down the wrong path of just the noise of those kinds of things that you will hear in mainstream that have nothing to do with success in your bracket. So again, understand your scoring system, assess risk and value by knowing what people are picking, adjust the strategy for your pool size, and avoid these supposed so-called golden rules. Little bracket strategy off the top. The formula's next. We updated Numbers Game Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready to dominate the brackets. Turn your picks into profits this tournament with the upcoming VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide. Inside this guide, you'll find expert strategies, insider tips, and in-depth analysis that'll give you the edge you need to outshine the competition. From underdog upsets to championship predictions, the VSiN Pro Betting Guide will have brackets from hosts and experts. Get your brackets in, Kelly. Get your picks in. NCAA tournament betting trends, and of course, best bets for every round of the tournament. Don't miss out on this game-changing resource. Download the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide on Tuesday. That's tomorrow at VSiN.com/betting guides. That's VSIN.com/betting guides. You ever have a little cut on your tongue and your speech is impaired?
No, apparently you do, though.
I'm just playing hurt.
You're
what I'm
fighting
doing.
Through it. Like Scotty Scheffler.
By the way, we're getting to that. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21. Speaking of Scotty Scheffler, before we get to the championship formula.
Well done, Gilberto.
I feel bad because like the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, do I text Kelly?
Like, hey, man, it always gets awkward when you're in those situations.
Yeah. I had one of those days yesterday where I just kept thinking to myself, I was like, you know, sometimes sports betting, for as hard as it is, doesn't have to be that hard. And yesterday was one of those days where I had Iga, famously, right?
You went country clubbing yesterday.
It's total country clubbing.
Whatever happened to my open with that? I got to figure that out.
Iga and Scotty, the Swiatek Scheffler Kiniella yesterday, where, in case you missed it, Iga Swiatek wins her 19th career tournament, her 8th 1,000, which is just ridiculous. And she does so in straight sets against Maria Sakkari. So we hit that as a +275 preflop play. So 2-2 on Iga Futures this year, Doha and Indian Wells to the good. Australian Open in Dubai to the bad. That's a net win even on that. And matches were killing it. So good on everybody who had Iga. Good on everybody who had Carlitos, who also won on the men's side. I did not have that. I'll tell you what else I didn't have. Saturday night, I had Scotty Scheffler preflop +586. Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about it. It's like really lame-o price, but it's Scheffler, the world number one, just like Iga's the world number one on the women's tennis side. And I'm just like, I'm going to have it in my account. But then Saturday night when he was 5 strokes back and it was 11-1, I didn't have the cojones to play to add. I was
sure,
just like, that's not long enough for me.
To understand, it was Scheffler's flu game, man, on Sunday. Like, that was...
Shot a, by the way, for those who missed it, he shot a final round 64 to win golf's de facto fifth major at the TPC, the tournament, the Players' Championship now is what it's called. He wins it by one stroke, 20 under for the tournament. He wins it by one stroke over Brian Harman, Wyndham Clark, and Xander Schauffele, who Kelly had every which way. Xander Schauffele doing Xander Schauffele things down the backstretch there. But Wyndham Clark, you ever see those shots in basketball that are halfway down and somehow come up?
Incredible.
That's what his putt was to force a playoff.
It was a couple of them for him on that back nine.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And, I mean, geez, listening to Wyndham Clark is not a guy. I mean, his past year, calendar year, has been simply incredible. He's really come onto the scene strong. There's you know, those post-game sounds sometimes from, you know, whether it's a football game, basketball game, whatever, where you get a whole new vision and amount of respect for a guy. That was Wyndham Clark yesterday. He was so pissed off that those putts weren't going down. You could see it in his eyes, hear it in his voice. He couldn't really even get through it without, you know, he was so angry about that. I'm like, this is the guy teeing it up going forward. I'm not going to ignore like I have before.
And this is what we always said about Scheffler. Like, if the putter was good, God help everybody else.
It was crazy. We did a long shots after the cut podcast on Friday night. We spent a lot of time talking about Scheffler just because it was, Matt was a little bit more pro Scheffler. I was a little bit more anti Scheffler at that time. And I don't want to necessarily say, you know, not that Matt went and bet outright on him. I don't believe it. Not that I was going to bet against him. But at that point on Friday, I mean, he openly talked about how much pain he was in with his neck, thought about withdrawing during round. So, you know, Matt kind of brought up a futures bet on him. I'm like, you can't consider a futures bet right now. The guy, you don't even know if the guy's going to be able to make it through the tournament. I'm like, at the same time, I'm not betting against him. But then Sunday he just goes nuclear.
He ends up eagling. I never said that very often.
Eagling, yeah.
Eagles number four, which is the hole that no one eagles at TPC Sawgrass. And once that happened, the floodgates seemingly opened. He did miss a putt on 13 after a great approach where I was like, maybe the putter's coming back. But that was it. That was the only sort of wobble in any of it.
It really was. And then, you know, Wyndham Clark and Schauffele, who had their stumbles, Schauffele, man, it's tough. It is. I mean, he choked. That's all you can say. For a guy who was as perfect as he was all week, started missing fairways on the back nine, missing greens, stuff he wasn't doing all week. Now he's in the pine.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. And then, but man, once those guys got to 17, both of them. It's why
they knew they had to.
You had to go for
and
it, right?
Did.
It's one of the greatest endings in golf for a reason, because the whole tournament can be won or lost right there. And both of them, I mean, put it close enough to make birdies. Wyndham Clark makes his, Schauffele doesn't make his. You go to 18. It was wild.
It was a beautiful sports day because everybody made room time-wise for the next thing. So Iga double parked outside. Mm-hmm. She made sure to get rid of Sakari so that we could watch the Temple game. That didn't work out very well with Temple. So I watched the Players' Championship. They, I think, two shots shy of Selection Sunday, right? There's only a two-shot bleed over. Then it was right into Selection Sunday, so it was perfect how it timed out yesterday. Speaking of which, the update to the tried-and-true college basketball formula here on the Numbers Game at VSiN is as such. Again, here are your criteria. Last 33 champs had more assists than turnovers. 31 of the last 33 had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience prior. The only exceptions, 2014 UConn Huskies with Kevin Ollie. That was the Shabazz Napier-led Huskies. 2023 Dan Hurley and the Huskies last year. 27 of the last 28 champs went into the tournament with at least three wins versus teams the top 10% of RPI. That's how long we've been doing it. The only exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies. You'll sense a theme. Last 28 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. That makes a team like Duke, right, kind of wavering on something like that. 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception, what do you know, the 2014 UConn Huskies and Kevin Ollie, they were 39th in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. And then 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception to that, the only non-UConn exception in any of this, the 2021 Baylor Bears, who finished 22nd in adjusted defensive efficiency just on the outside. So with this formula, and I get a lot of questions about that, the only thing that can adjust in tournament, the KenPom stuff, the adjusted offense, the adjusted defense. After the last week of college basketball and all the conference tournaments, we have a bit of a change here heading into the big dance itself. Four teams qualify. Four. Those are the UConn Huskies, Houston, Arizona, and Auburn. UConn, Houston, Arizona, and Auburn. UConn first and 11th in adjusted offense and defense at KenPom, respectively. Houston 17th and 2nd in adjusted offense and defense at KenPom. Arizona 8th and 12th. And Auburn, which has a 4 seed in this tournament, 10th and 4th adjusted offense and defense at KenPom. These are the teams just on the outside looking in. We'll do these in two tiers. There are two teams that are right on the doorstep. There are four others who are a little further out. The two teams that are right on the doorstep, Marquette and Purdue. Marquette is 21st in offense, 19th on D. Purdue 4th on offense, 21st in D, talking about the KenBom numbers. The four teams that are a little further out and may not be able to adjust themselves in this: Carolina, Tennessee, Creighton, and Duke. Carolina 24th and 6th, KenPom. Tennessee 29th and 3rd, fell all the way to 29th on offense. So Dalton Connect is going to have to Danny Manning in the Vols. Creighton 12th and 24th, adjusted offensive defense at KenPom. And Duke, which did not have John Shire getting to a Sweet 16 prior to this tournament, so they lose on that as well. Duke is kind of fugazi on a couple fronts. Barely get in on strength of schedule. Don't get in on the Sweet 16 thing, where there's only been two exceptions. 7th and 26th adjusted offensive defense at KenPom. So four qualify again heading into the tournament: UConn, Houston, Arizona, and Auburn. And really only Marquette and Purdue on the doorstep.
Yeah, and you're talking Auburn 15-1, the longest of those four that are in. Marquette 30-1, Duke 35-1 is what you're looking at odds-wise.
Yeah, UConn, Houston, and Arizona, first, second, and fourth on the big board in terms of odds to win it all. Purdue, which is right on the doorstep of the formula, actually third in the odds. The team in the odds that is the shortest, that has nowhere to be found in this formula: Iowa State at 20-1 to win it all, and Kentucky 25-1 to win it all. So there you go. Tried and true. And man, the point of this is as such: as much mayhem as there is in rounds 1 and 2, picking the actual winner often by using something like this, by using a vehicle like this, actually ain't that hard at all. We'll come back. Ed Fang, College Hoops on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before the tournament tips off, start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our March Mania betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG, folks, like A Numbers Game, the fine program you're listening or watching right now.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199 by using that promo code. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Touchdown Jesus. Interesting to note that three of the four closest to qualify, but on the outside looking in, Creighton, Tennessee, and Duke, are on a list of first conference tournament game losers, which has never resulted in a national champion. Interesting layer to add to that as well. This is from Jesse Welch. We did an after the cut long shots on Friday night. When the hell did we start this? Man, this pod really needs to be advertised properly because I totally missed that one. It just doesn't get enough advertising.
Yeah, Jesse, it was the first one. It's okay. We're going to do them after every major going forward.
And then Andy Grimshaw. When does the NCAA Megapod drop? Glad you asked. It's your half an hour reminder. Every half hour, I'm going to remind people.
a few hours from now.
90 minutes from now, we're gonna record it, and then we'll drop it like an album. Drop it like it's hot, Kelly.
How, in fact, do you drop the pod afterward, Gil?
I personally don't drop anything. I used to drop them all the time back in the day. I'd edit, then I'd drop it. Now I don't do any of that. They drop it for me. I appreciate it.
Stephen Jung, shout out.
Stephen Jung. Appreciate that, man. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read to you the Twitter bio for this gentleman. He's my friend Ed Feng. He's at the Power Rank on Twitter. He says, wrote the book on winning your March Madness pool, Stanford PhD, and almost humble enough not to mention it. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ed Feng. How you doing, Ed? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, I should say. Sorry about that, Ed. You're good?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
What are you doing besides the Power Rank these days?
Driving my son to soccer.
Okay, that works.
Driving my other son to musical rehearsal.
All right. They getting along, the two of them?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. For the most part. That usually means there's some, I don't know, maybe there's some fights every once in a while. All right, Ed, remind people, because I always like to do this. What did you write your PhD on?
On the kinetic theory of liquids and polymers.
Got
there
that.
Were some polymers in there.
You got that, yeah. Kelly? Kinetic?
Yeah, I was thinking about going down that path too, yeah. But I just decided to go another direction.
Kinetic theory of liquids and polymers.
Well, you just cut the PhD out, so you could get straight to the good stuff in sports betting. I just took a little detour, learned maybe a little bit of math that was marginally useful. So we all got to the same place.
Point of that is his brain is bigger than all of ours.
Marginally useful, yeah.
All right, Ed, you did cut your teeth on your March Madness stuff back in the day. Give us the basic tenets. What do folks need to know?
Right. I mean, I think the main thing that you need to know is that, you know, your win probability depends on the size of your pool, right? The easiest thing to do is to get in a small pool, like 10 people, use my numbers, just pick the higher ranked team in every single game. You can get this for free at thepowerrank.com. Or actually, if you just search the Power Rank College Basketball, the college basketball rankings should show up. I even do this for you if you sign up for my free email newsletter. But then honestly, the thing that's really interesting and what got me into thinking about March Madness is how those odds change as your pool gets bigger. So somewhere around 20, 30 people, if you get into a pool bigger than that, it really helps to think contrarian. It really helps to try to guess what other people are doing in your pool and go against them. And that's what I talk about in my book. And that's what I talk about on my site.
Anything beyond that we need to know? What's another layer? Or you just want to, or we send people there to get more on that? How about we do that?
That sounds great.
Okay, we'll do that as a strategy. Okay, have you filled out your brackets this year yet? Have you done that yet?
I have not. So what I will do is I will get a bracket for my members and for people who buy my stuff. I'm going to do that tomorrow morning, Gil, because I'm waiting on some public data. I'm waiting on to see whether Hunter Dickinson can play with a broken shoulder. No, just dislocated shoulder. Seeing what's going on with Tyler Kolek. So I'll be doing that tomorrow morning. But I already really see a number of really interesting things in this bracket.
All right.
Gil, when we first met over a decade ago, there would often be 12s that would be straight favorites over 5 seeds. And that has really dried up over the past couple of years. I actually go on a rant every year about how, you know, stop thinking about these first round games. They're not really worth your time. The 5 has usually been favored. Gil, that's not the case this year. We actually have some really interesting games in which in New Mexico is actually favored. In their first round game, I think they might be an 11 seed, but and then also Oregon as well. My numbers really like Oregon too. So it's a little bit of a different year. It's a little bit chaotic with the seeding and things like that. So there are some differences.
Yeah, New Mexico an 11 seed favorite in their game. That is actually the biggest spread of any of the lower seeds being favored over a higher seed, 2.5 points. Actually, I think there is a 3-point spread in one of the ones, but that's a 9-8. Okay, you like some props, some prop markets that you like to bet as well, Ed?
Yeah, so the one thing that I've been doing in my newsletter is talking about college basketball props. I personally find the college basketball spread market to be incredibly difficult in February and March. I just don't think there's a ton of value. I think there's a large community of very sharp people that beat these markets into shape. What do you do when that happens? Well, you look for other markets. And I've been looking at the college basketball prop market. I believe it is beatable. I've had some, you know, reasonable success with that in my newsletter. What I'll do, Gil, is it's a little bit annoying because my newsletter goes out at 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and the prop markets aren't really up Friday for me to look at stuff. And some Saturdays they're not up at 8 a.m. when I'm trying to do this on a Saturday morning either. So that gets pretty challenging. But for the most part, I've been able to find some success. And I really expect this market to kind of burgeon in the tournament. I expect these markets to be up for longer, especially next weekend when, you know, when we have like the Sweet 16 games. I think it's beatable by kind of, you know, and a lot of what I'm doing is not model driven. It is looking at markets, seeing how things change, and fading players that are hot, you know, betting the over on player points in which you feel like this player's usage has gone up during conference play. You know, things like Dalton Connect, you know, his the Tennessee star is a pretty interesting player because I'm not sure you can make his point total high enough. I really think he's good, and it's going to be interesting to watch some of those matchups. So, you know, over the past couple of years, I've done a lot of stuff on my site about how to win your pool, and I'm going to continue to do that. But this year, I've made my focus like, let's get more into props. These are beatable, and you know, you're watching the games anyways. Let's have some fun with some other bets. And that's what I've been doing over the past month.
All right. Ed Feng at the Power Rank. And again, where do they go for all this, Ed?
You can go to thepowerrank.com. The easiest way is to sign up for the free email newsletter. And you can grab my cheat sheet. That'll make it easy for you to fill out your bracket. And then, you know, that'll also give you access to my props every Saturday. And then, you know, I'll save a little bit more for paying members. But I think the free place is the best place to start.
All right, Ed, thank you so much, man. Great seeing you.
Great seeing you guys, too. Have a great day.
Great Ed Feng, everybody, from the Power Rank. We were talking earlier at the top of the show about how UConn, for being a number one overall, really got sort of the just raw end of it.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, if we went through the KenPom numbers of who's in their region versus, say, juxtaposed against Purdue as the third overall number one and who they have in their region. And again, hasn't affected the odds, and certainly Danny Hurley's not going to be upset by it. But they were, you know, it's interesting. The committee chair was talking about how this was a particularly difficult bracket to make because five bids essentially were stolen by NC State in the ACC, by Oregon in the Pac-12, New Mexico in the Mountain West, UAB and Duquesne also thrown into that mix. And so it did create this, you know, the St. John's of the world and the Indiana States of the world, which we thought might not get in anyway, never had a chance to get in on this. So in that respect, I don't know that it makes for a better tournament, but that's just how the system is. By the way, when it breaks down in terms of conferences, Big 12 and SEC both had eight teams in, the Big 10 and Mountain West with six apiece, although the committee didn't really love the Mountain West in terms of seedings. ACC with five, Pac-12 with four, Big East with only three, West Coast Conference and Atlantic 10 both with two. Last four in ended up being Boise State, Colorado, Virginia. Oh, Virginia.
Ugh.
And Colorado State. Last four out ended up being Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, and Pitt. The highest net ranking team of the last four out, the Indiana State Sycamores, 29th in net rating. Highest in terms of KenPom, St. John's, 25th.
Bummer. A lot of people were looking forward to betting them.
Yeah. We'll come back, a little hockey, and then we'll do it bracket by bracket with Michael Montesano next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $5 bonus bet for every $1,000 $1,000 you wager. Let me say that again. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now.
Good That's
deal.
Incredible.
Good deal right there.
Love that we have this promo back. If you have not downloaded DraftKings yet, you're insane. You need to go out there and get this right now. That is a heck of an offer.
Great job yesterday, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my God. They were incredible. So we were we had live bet Sunday going 12 to 4. We had the bracket special show after us from 4 to 7, I know. DraftKings was posting numbers right as games were being posted from, you know, from the bracket as they were going up on the bracket. It was incredible. By the time Dustin Penn and I got off air at 4 o'clock, we had gone through every single game side and total.
It's awesome. We get tweets at Beating the Book. New York Mets 16. Listening to your NCAA formula, I found it interesting that every tier had a Big East team, yet they had the fewest teams from the power conferences in the tourney. That is interesting. This is from, he also adds, Kelly was on the path of kinetic studies, but took a hard left and tried field goal kicking, which is very true. Lance Schaefer. Lance. John Balducci. Congrats, Gil. You know you've made it when they drop it for you. That's very true. That's very true. And trust the glove. Oh, this is good. Indiana State to win the NIT. Oh, I love an NIT market. Let's get those. Indiana State.
Yeah, what are they going to be, like, even money? I feel like every bettor on the planet
is going
to be
even. I don't think they're going to be even. No, I don't think they'll be that sure. But Indiana
State. I like that you're even considering it. What do you think the real price on that will be?
Single digits, but it won't be even.
Yeah, okay.
They'll be either the short shot or the second short shot.
Okay.
Because you got the St. John's of the world in there too, right? So, I don't know. It's going to be.
Yeah, St. John's will be shorter than them, right?
So, it should be. I mean, that's also a very bettable market because you have to figure out who's motivated. Like, who's not so angry that they didn't make the big dance that they'll actually try and win this? What coach will get his team motivated?
I'm just thinking here about we could do the Kelly guessing NIT odds.
Odds. Yeah, not even lines. Just odds. Yeah, that should be fun for you. Yeah. So Kelly's next big college football guessing lines evolution. All right. This gentleman is the co-host of The Point of the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. We always love having him to talk hockey and golf as well. It's Jay Hahn, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Hahn. That's H-A-H-N, the number 4, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, guys. Always nice to join you here on a Monday. Licking my wounds a little bit from the Players Championship. I know Kelly had Xander. I was on Wyndham Clark and a huge Brian Herman live ticket. Oh. So a lot of guys missed by one and got Scottie Scheffler yesterday. But just as a golf fan, betting aside, it was a really fun finish. I think anybody that had a ticket really on anybody in the mix, you know, felt like they were live there. And hey, when the best golfer in the world goes out there and shoots 8 under, I think sometimes you just kind of tip your cap. You know, gets off to the slow start too, right? Pars on the first few holes, and you're thinking, okay, maybe Scotty's going to stay out of this one. Let us have a little fun today. And then he holes out for eagle, and then makes like a 17 footer on the next, and you're like, okay, here we go. Scotty's ready. He's got the putter going, and that's just dangerous for the rest of the field.
Yeah, he's pretty good at golf. That's my analysis.
Pretty good at golf. And Jake hit on it there, and we didn't really bring it up early. By far the best tournament of the year. Oh. I mean, not even close. For a lot of us that were like, meh, this whole golf product hasn't been so great so far, that was awesome.
Well, for the golf hardos who have watched everything, I lament it for you, because for those of us who love golf and are golf and bet golf, this was really the first one we got locked into big time. And it was spectacular. But here's my one golf question. So with Augusta and the Masters coming right after March Madness, do you just bet Scottie Scheffler and just forget about it in your account and just have it?
That honestly, that might just be the move for every tournament he plays right now. If he has actually figured out the putter, and it's not like he's putting as the best on tour right now, but all he has to do is gain anything putting, and he probably wins the golf tournament because the ball striking is as good as we've seen in years, really. Like some of the best ball striking from any golfer we've seen in a very long time. So he just breaks even putting. He more than likely is going to win the tournament. We know he's comfortable at Augusta. So, I mean, you could easily make that case, at least amongst the favorites. The guys at the top of the board, Scheffler would be the only name I would even think about at this point. But I've got my eye on some long shots. I really like the way that Nick Taylor's been playing this year. He had a bit of a rough weekend at the Players, but his first two rounds were terrific. He's a guy in triple digits I'd be looking at maybe for placings. I think he's just in some good form. So we can still build a nice Augusta card. But like you said, Gil, it's hard to go against this guy right now.
I said it about Scheffler when he first ascended. I was like, you probably should have a bet on this guy every week. He's just that good. He's built different. All right, real quick, hockey. Guys in my building who park our cars, it's mandatory, by the way, they always have amazing sports opinions that I'm always amused by. There's an Arsenal guy who's like the most defeatist Arsenal fan in soccer. Oh, of course. And I have another guy who's like a huge Knights fan, Golden Knights, who's like, oh, we finally won. And then this morning he says to me, here's what's going to happen, Gil. Colorado and Edmonton are going to get to the Western Conference Finals, and they're just going to beat the crap out of each other. And whoever wins, it's going to win it all. Do you view it that way?
I mean, I would love to watch that personally. And they actually face each other two more times. They hadn't played all year up until this past weekend. And then you get three matchups between Colorado and Edmonton. So maybe it is setting up for a McDavid-McKinnon showdown in the conference final. And just like what we talked about with golf fans enjoying the Players yesterday, betting aside, I think betting aside a Colorado-Edmonton Western Conference final for hockey fans would just be popcorn. Like, it's, I can't think of a more exciting series than that. So from a fan perspective, it's something I would certainly be rooting for, but there's a lot of quality teams in the Western Conference, guys. I think a lot of people are asking questions about Winnipeg and Vancouver fairly because they've had great surprising regular seasons, but we need to see them do it in the playoffs. So I think fair questions about them. You know, Dallas has shown that they can be a very deep team, but they've also got a tough side of the bracket going up against a Colorado or a Winnipeg. And don't look now, but the Nashville Predators are a team I've really got my eye on here, guys. I can't believe I'm saying it. A bit of a longer shot. They're more than likely going to be a wild card team, but they will get one of those one seed teams, and they're playing the best hockey of any team in the NHL right now. So can they sustain that for the next month or so before the playoffs and kind of go in with that sort of form? They'll also go in with zero pressure. The Preds are supposed to be rebuilding, and they're way ahead of schedule. So look out for Nashville to maybe throw a bit of a wrench into the Western Conference plans this year.
I always love the expression, don't look now as well. Don't look now, because it causes us.
Don't
look. To look now.
I just looked. Predators 22-1 to win the West and 50-1 to win it all.
Thank you, sir. All right. Any, there are only a couple games in hockey. Any plays on either of these?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough card tonight, but a couple of close lines. Seattle hosting the Buffalo Sabres. This one's a tough one. It feels like Seattle's kind of fizzled out at this point. If they had any hopes of tracking down a playoff spot, seems like that's gone. So I don't know what they have really left in the tank. And Buffalo, it's a long shot for them to make it. They suffered a pretty tough loss over the weekend. Now have to fly to the West Coast. But I do still like the way that the Sabres are playing. So if I were to play this game, I think it would be a lean towards the Buffalo Sabres. And in the other game, I actually do like the Washington Capitals at plus money here. It's not a team I was really backing at all throughout the course of the season, up until maybe a few weeks ago. And they just continue to find ways to win and hang around in this playoff race. So it feels like they've got a bit more to play for than Calgary does tonight. They figured something out with some of their younger players in the lineup. So I don't love it, but I will take a shot at plus money with the Capitals tonight, and what's a pretty light night in the NHL.
There you go. Jake rocking the red with the Caps tonight. All right. You are Canadian. You are aware that we have this thing called March Madness. Do you participate at all in this?
I love March Madness. It probably is, maybe outside of the Masters and the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I would say my favorite event on the calendar, especially the opening weekend.
Yes.
I got to get to Vegas for an opening weekend of March Madness. That's on my bucket list. It's not going to happen for me this year, but in future years, and I'll certainly let you guys know when I make that happen, but I can't wait. I'm fired up. It's not a sport that I bet a lot during the regular season anymore, but I'm ready to jump in both feet in the water for this, for the March Madness. So if you guys got any plays, the only future ticket I have is actually Colorado State, 350-1 from way back.
Wow.
So I'm hoping they win their play-in game. And hey, maybe the Rams can go on a little bit of a run for me.
All right. Well, we're about to have Michael Montesano on. We're going to go bracket by bracket, region by region. And then an hour from now, I'm doing the Megapod where we're doing it, in turbo and on steroids, if you will. We don't just pick Final Four. We pick our Final Eight. Because Todd objects to the Final Four. He wants to add a layer. So Final Eight for me, UConn to beat BYU in the East. UConn to beat BYU. Arizona to beat Alabama in that bracket, in that region. I haven't decided between Marquette or Kentucky to beat Houston in this in that region. And then in the final one, the Midwest, I got Tennessee beating Purdue. I know, let the hate wash over me. Tennessee, which, by the way,
I don't think there's many people hating them.
Well, there is, because
I think Colorado State in there.
No, I did not say Colorado State. Tennessee upset by a lower seeded team their last five NCAA tourneys with Rick Barnes at the helm. Round of 32, round of 16, round of 64, round of 32, round of 16. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Talk next.
Levitard next on DK. We're coming back.